thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
Lord, we thank you for this beautiful time once again this morning, spent around your table. Lord, we thank you that we can take time to reflect upon that perfect, that precious sacrifice for us. Lord, we thank you that even though many a time we do not feel worthy, Lord, you have made us worthy through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, this morning we pray as we open your word. Lord, we pray that you would open our hearts. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to open our spiritual eyes and our spiritual ears. We pray, Lord, that you would teach us and encourage us from your word this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that it's life-giving and it's life-changing. And we pray, Lord, that we would go out of here, Lord, just better people than when we come in this morning. And so we ask it all in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Dave, for leading us around the table this morning. It is our carol service, of course, this evening, and we really do encourage you to come out. There's a full program, so many people taking part with readings, and of course the Sunday school children will be singing. There's a duet, there'll be a short word, loads and loads of carols, and then there's going to be a really nice supper as well to top it all, so please do come out. So today we're going to be looking at perhaps history's most influential couple. We're going to be looking at Joseph and Mary, and this morning we're going to be looking at Joseph. No Ordinary Joe is your title this morning, and then this evening briefly we're going to look at one special Mary. However, according to research, who do you reckon is the most perfect couple in the world? In 2013, it was reckoned by a UK TV network called Watch that the celebrity pair who were the most perfect couple in the world, and that was Prince William and Catherine, apparently. In 2016, another poll asked, who is Britain's best looking couple? So apparently a pair of fitness models whose good looks stop people in the street have been dubbed the best looking couple ever. Mel Tansley, who's 21, and James Ferguson, who's 29, work out 7 days a week. They've got fake tan, they whiten their teeth, and they shape their eyebrows together, apparently. In 2023, Slimming World revealed that the couple who had received the top slimming award shed 17 stone between them. Joe Beveridge and John Durkin were Slimming World's Couple of the Year 2023. I think that's about 5 stone more than the average Briton. And apparently, who is the most beautiful couple in the world? Well, they say it's got to be David Beckham and Victoria, followed by Penelope Cruz and somebody called Javier Bardem, and followed closely by JT and Holly, believe it or not. Lastly, which name is best for couples? Well, apparently Jelly Bean and Gummy Bear come first, Sonny and Cher come second, Mickey and Minnie third, Bonnie and Clyde fourth, and then Ying and Yang, so take your pick. Anyhow, enough of this fantasy. In 0 AD, Joseph and Mary would probably have been named the craziest couple in the world, because they claimed to have been personally chosen by God himself. They claimed to have been visited by angels. They claimed that Mary was expecting a baby without there being any physical relationship between her and Joseph. Just crazy, crazy, crazy. But Joseph and Mary surely have to be among some of the most amazing people in the Bible, if not the most amazing couple in our Bible. But what I want you to do for a wee moment this morning before we get into our message is to think for a moment, what if, What if Joseph hadn't agreed to stick around and to help Mary to bring up Jesus? What if Mary hadn't have said to the angel and to the Lord, may it be done to me according to your will? What if they had have gone their separate ways? What if they had have been disobedient to the heavenly calling? What if it was just a series of crazy dreams? Because Mary and Joseph maybe had just too much cheese the night before. But the dreams and the angels and God's choosing were all real. And thankfully, this great couple were obedient to God's will, and thankfully, they did remain committed to one another. Mary did agree for it to be done according to God's will, not hers. Joseph did stick around and help rear baby Jesus, even though he wasn't his biological dad. So that's got to make Joseph a no ordinary Joe and his fiancée one special Mary in anyone's book. And so the Bible has a few no ordinary Joes. We think of, in particular, we go back to the Old Testament just for a short moment. We think of an Old Testament hero, a particular favourite of mine, perhaps of yours as well, young Joseph. Joseph the daydreamer, who was a cheeky wee chappy in his teenage years. He was a spoilt brat. He was the great-grandson of Abraham, who owned a brightly coloured coat and a multicoloured personality to match. And he went from being father's favourite to becoming a pit dweller, a prison inmate, before he became a royal ruler and then finally a servant of the living God. He was God's man of the moment. He was the right man in the right place at the right time to save the nation of Israel. And yet he had more ups and downs than an overactive yo-yo. A mere lad dumped in a dirty hole in the ground by his brothers, sold as human cargo for a few pounds, sentenced to prison by his jealous employer, then elevated to the palace by a gracious king, and then ruled the land of the mighty Egyptian Empire. So our charismatic character, our Old Testament no ordinary Joe, who became the human instrument through which God preserved the nation of Israel and many, many lives with it. But today we want to look into the life of our New Testament no ordinary Joe, Joseph, the father of Jesus, and a distant relative of our Old Testament Joe, Joseph. He was instrumental and played his part in helping Jesus to save the world. So if you'll turn with me, please, to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, and we're going to read just what the angel had to say to Joseph when Joseph had this breaking news from Mary. Matthew chapter 1, we're going to pick it up, verse 16, just give you a wee moment there to turn it up in your Bibles or your iPads or phones. We're going to break into just the very end part of the genealogy of Jesus. We've read it a few times. But in verse 16, we come almost to the very end, and it says, and Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. From David until the captivity of Babylon are 14 generations. And from the captivity in Babylon until Christ are also 14 generations. That's 42 generations from Abraham to Jesus, if you're counting. Verse 18, now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, we'll explain that in a while, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to himself his wife, but he did not know her until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. There's another interesting fact that links both of our no ordinary Joes, the Old Testament one and the New Testament one. God had a habit of speaking to both of them in dreams. So if God speaks to you in dreams, it's probably not the cheese or the chocolate that you're eating at night, but it's you're in good company. In the case of our Old Testament Joseph, it was before his amazing topsy-turvy journey began that he had these dreams. Whereas our New Testament Joseph received his revelation after his world was turned upside down by the shocking news that little Mary, the love of his life, his boyhood sweetheart, had just broken to him, a bombshell, let's be honest, that left him completely devastated, that Mary was expecting a child and the baby wasn't Joseph's. Poor Joseph was understandably distraught, so he decided to break off the engagement. He was in bits and he wasn't sleeping too well either, as we can imagine. He hadn't had a decent night's sleep in ages since his world had come crashing around him. Nothing made sense whatsoever to Joseph. It was like confused.com. Mary talked about something like the power of the Almighty overshadowing her, whatever that meant, and the offspring being the Son of God. But this was all far too much for Joseph to take in, let alone beginning to understand. Until that is, one night, the Lord God intervened in the life of Joseph and he spoke directly to him through the angel in an amazing dream. It was these divine dreams that catapulted these two young Josephs in two completely different directions than they were originally traveling. Mary's breaking news broke Joseph's heart, and he had no other choice than to break off their relationship. So let's try and imagine the scenario or the context in which they were living. First of all, it was in the culture of the first century. Very, very different culture to what we have today. It was in the setting of the Jewish faith, and it was in the midst of a really poor family situation. And so in the culture and the setting of the first century Palestine and the strict code of the Jewish faith, the news of Mary falling pregnant outside of marriage was nothing short of being scandalous, and the letter of the law demanded, as you probably know already, that Mary, his beautiful sweetheart, was to be stoned to death. Now, I know this is very hard for us to get our heads around it, because it's swift and it's severe judgment showing no mercy whatsoever. As the act of adultery and the barbaric stoning would take not only the life of one, but of two people. It would take the life of both the mother and her unborn baby. So this was the Middle Eastern culture and custom into which Mary and Joseph were born and were subject to. Whether they liked it or not, that's how they found the situation. And that's why Joseph, who the Bible tells us was a good and a righteous man, wanted to handle the situation quietly and discreetly to protect Mary and the little one. So let's consider the dream that Joseph had. The gospel writer Matthew tells us a few things about the encounter that Joseph had with the angel that I believe are really helpful for us today in the 21st century. So if you have your Bibles, or maybe you'll open them once again, please, just back to Matthew 1, and let's pick it up at verse 19. I'm just going to read a few verses here. Verse 19, chapter 1 of Matthew. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to yourself Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all of this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. And so what we find here, if you're making notes, and a little image will come up on the screen shortly, he was reminded of who he was. Joseph was reminded that he was Joseph, son of David. He was told not to be afraid. It was confirmed to him how the child was conceived. There was a gender reveal. He told him what his son's name would be, and he informed Joseph what Jesus would both be and do. See, Joseph is one of the most influential characters in the whole of the Bible, and yet, amazingly, there's no record of Joseph ever having spoken a word. There's nowhere recorded in Scripture anywhere of any words that Joseph spoke. Not only that, Joseph at some stage in later years seems to have passed away, and yet again, it's very odd that there are no details whatsoever given in the Gospels about this significant event, about the earthly father, not the biological father, obviously we know that, but the earthly father of the Lord Jesus Christ passing into eternity, and yet we have no details of that. Scripture seems to stay strangely silent about this event. Now, both of our Josephs had a father called Jacob, another common bond. We know loads about the Old Testament Jacob, for he's a shrewd man if there ever was one. He's what you'd call a wily old fox. He was a trickster, trickier than a man able to herd mice at a crossroads. And if you imagine that, that's a very tricky thing to do. Whereas our New Testament Jacob, that would be the grandfather of Jesus, so Jacob, Joseph, Jesus, we know nothing about him whatsoever. We know very little about Jesus' dad, Joseph, either. But one thing we do know is this, that our two no ordinary Joes had very different family upbringings. The Old Testament Jacob was a very, very wealthy man. He owned vast amounts of livestock and land that stretched as far as the eye could see and beyond. And so the young teenager Joseph, his favorite son, would have wanted for nothing, not even a beautiful multicolored coat. Contrast Joseph and Mary, it would seem that they hadn't two shekels to rub together. When Jesus was born, they were so poor that they offered the least acceptable sacrifice demanded by the law when he was dedicated to the Lord in the temple at just a few weeks old. We touched on that last week when Simeon and Anna had that revelation from God the Holy Spirit. And so we see that when Jesus' parents brought him to the temple, that they offered a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons, which was the cheapest and the most common sacrifice permittable under the law. That's what those who were living on the bread line in the time of Jesus' birth offered as a sacrifice. And so back to his father Joseph. What if he had have thrown a wobbler? What if he was adamant and said, no way, I don't trust you, Mary. I'm not taking you as my wife. What if he point blank refused to believe in Mary's side of the story and washed his hands of her completely? Many a man would have done it. What if he was disobedient to the heavenly instructions? Thankfully, he wasn't, and thankfully, he didn't. Even though Joseph did not understand everything, in fact, he understood very little at this point in time, and his future looked extremely unsure, he chose to trust God. And that's what we can learn, the first thing that we can learn from Joseph today. Even though he didn't understand what was happening, his future looked so unsure and so uncertain, he chose to trust God. Not his instincts, not what his head was telling him. He chose to put his faith in the one in whom he served. And so what an example our New Testament No Ordinary Joe was. Verse 24 says, when Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and he took Mary as his wife. So when he came round, he immediately sent Mary a text. Didn't know that they had mobile phones in those days, sure you didn't. And he said to her in the text, honey, we need to meet to sort these things out. And so let's take a closer look at what Joseph, the conversation, or what the angel had to say to Joseph. The Bible declares that he was a righteous man. Matthew 1 verse 19. And so he didn't want to cause Mary any public disgrace or damage to her reputation, so he decided to break off the engagement quietly. Joseph didn't splash Mary's breaking news all over social media. He made sure that she wasn't the talk of the town. He was going to deal with it in a gentle, in a gracious, and in a godly way. It was grace under pressure for Joseph. It was grace under pressure. But then that's how a good and a righteous and a godly man should act. So let's just read it again for the third time. Let's read from verse 19, please. Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to him, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet Isaiah, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. When we face difficulties and situations that we don't like, things that will turn our world upside down, the first thing that we need to remember is who we are. And more importantly, who we are in Christ. That we are his children, we are sons and daughters of the living God, that we are called by him personally and intimately, we are chosen by him, we are handpicked, and we are special to him, and we are cared for by him with the utmost compassion. And so the angel reminded Joseph that he was special. That Joseph was, he didn't say, Joseph, son of Jacob. That was obviously his biological father. He said in the dream, in his address, he said, Joseph, son of David. Why is that significant? Because Joseph was descended from royalty. Joseph was related to King David. That was his long-lost ancestor. And of course, the patriarch Abraham, who was the father of many nations, was also a distant relative. And so it was vital that Joseph, at the very start of this dream, understood who he was before anything else was disclosed. And we need to remember, too, that we are related to the king, that we are his sons and his daughters. We are the children of our heavenly father. The next thing, of course, that we see in this dream is that he was told not to be afraid. In verse 20, "Do not be afraid," said the angel. Joseph was understandably scared stiff. Bad enough hearing the news about his fiancée had just broken to him, but now a mighty heavenly messenger, an angel, was speaking to him. He said, "Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife." God was asking Joseph, through the divine messenger, to choose faith over fear. Notice that the angel didn't say, "Do not be confused. Do not try to understand what's happening." He didn't say, "Don't try and work it out." He simply said, "Don't be afraid." Likewise, maybe God is asking somebody here this morning, or somebody who's listening online to our podcast at a later stage. Maybe somebody is asking, God is asking some of you to not be afraid, but to trust him. Even though you don't understand what's going on, even in the midst of your confusion, even in the middle of your heartbreak, when you simply don't understand what is happening, when you don't have the answers, God wants you to choose faith over fear, even though it's the very last thing that your heart is telling you to do. The next thing that we see that the angel told Joseph was, he says, the child within Mary is conceived by the Holy Spirit, verse 20. In other words, this was ordained by God. His hand was all over it. This was the predestined will, the preordained plan of Almighty God. And so too with us, we have to believe that no matter what we go through, that God's hand and handprint is all over it. As Christians, we need to realize that when we submit our lives to him, when we are obedient to him and when we walk with him, that everything that happens is part of his divine master plan. It's like in Genesis 50, verse 20, I believe it is, that at the very, very end of the story, it was 13 or 14 chapters long, that Joseph said to his brothers that you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. So whether it was the pit or the prison or the palace for the Old Testament Joseph, God had his hand in it. Whether it was the joy of the mountaintop experiences or the pain in the valleys, God was there. And so with our Old Testament Joseph and our New Testament Joseph, so he is with you and with me this morning. He's our constant companion, isn't he? He's with us in the mess and the mayhem. He's with us every single step of the way. And then we find that the angel did history's first gender reveal. He says, "She will bring forth a son," verse 21. And then he told him the boy's name, or what he should call the boy. "You are to call his name Jesus." Once again, these are very specific details that only the divine creator could know. Lastly, and significantly, the angel informed Joseph of what Jesus would both do and be. And so the punchline came at the end of verse 21. He says this, "For he will save his people from their sins." This little boy would one day become a fully grown man. And that man would become the Son of God and the Savior of the world. Heaven was coming down to earth. The Son of God was touching down on our sod. And from that day, the day that Jesus was born, it would be Emmanuel, God with us. Not just at Christmas time when we sing our carols, but every day of our lives is God with us. Joseph was not just told who Jesus would be, but he was told what Jesus would be. He was the long-awaited and the eagerly expected Messiah. He wasn't just a type of Christ. Jesus was the Christ. And so that the Almighty could be within our hearts through faith, that we would be freed and forgiven, just as we heard around the table this morning, that we would be truly blessed indeed, that we would know that we are children, sons and daughters of the King. And so as I wrap this up this morning, church family, we need to learn, and we can learn so much from both of our Josephs in the Old and the New Testaments. These two heroes of the faith who constantly kept their hearts pure in each and every circumstance that they encountered. Two unique men who submitted their wills to that of the Almighty. Two no ordinary Joes, because they both knew that God knew better. And I think when we realize that, and when we get that into our thick skulls, that God knows better than us. And so, folks, that is the father of Jesus, who the Bible calls a good and a righteous man, who was obedient to the heavenly call, who took Mary as his wife, who raised Jesus and cared for him as a loving father, leading by an example, leading and instructing him not only about life, but about living a good life, a godly life, and a glorifying life. And so that is the example to us this morning, this no ordinary Joe who lived an extraordinary life for his Saviour. God bless you.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.